Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. With populations in Latin America continuing to grow and evolve, the ways in which countries in the region use their public space is changing too. Today, we head to Montevideo, Uruguay's capital, to see how the city's plazas act as the glue that holds their communities together. Monocle's Latin America Affairs correspondent, Lucinda Elliott, explains more.
One of the greatest challenges for Latin American cities in recent decades has been how to reconfigure public space when their urban populations have mushroomed and social structures are constantly shifting. Often they're set out like an archipelago of disconnected neighbourhoods, rich versus poor, high up versus low down, with endless last-minute cobbled-together buildings that offer little in the way of social cohesion or sense of community. But here is where the traditional plaza, or town square, is playing a vital role in planning up and down the continent, with the enormous potential to improve daily lives and reduce crime, measured by the quality of these open spaces. Montevideo, the capital of Uruguay, is the youngest of South America's cities, founded in 1724 by a Spanish soldier, Bruno Mauricio de Zavala. On moving at the start of this year, I noticed how plazas that were brought over from Spain by Zavala, and I admit, the one dedicated to him in the old town is by far a favourite, are really utilised. This, I'm told, is thanks to major cleanup projects financed by the city council. Each one comes with a small basketball court or five-a-side football pitch, fountains, benches, with places to take shade and sip tea, smooth walls and pistas to roller skate or graffiti to your youthful heart's content. Others come with chess tables, solar panels and slots to charge your phone. Young adults and teenagers meet up at dusk. There's even an initiative to get kids away from screens and back out playing in the plaza, sponsored by local football clubs. So how has Montevideo got things so right? First, with just under 1.5 million people, it does have a demographic advantage when it comes to public space, currently counting a generous 10 metres squared per resident. The waterfront promenade, known as the Rambla, that hugs 20 kilometres of coastline separating Uruguay from Argentina, is backed by four urban parks, Rodó, Bache, Del Prado and Rivera. A closer look actually reveals a sequence of central squares with an intricate pattern of tree-lined streets, geometric boulevards and avenues. At one point, from the 1930s through to 60s, there was even an Olympic-sized public swimming pool with diving boards that jutted out from the Rambla into the river. But it wasn't until the end of the 1990s that the bigger, modern-day Montevideo really thought hard about how the capital had changed and to plan better. Thousands had been forced out to what became the suburbs, previously just the country's rural interior, with no architectural foresight. These unplanned industrial districts multiplied. They were miles away from the benefits of the Rambla and wide open space. Then, driven by more favourable economic conditions and a new socialist government in the early 2000s, squares were commissioned or rearranged, ambitiously positioned as new destinations, ones of beauty that strongly encouraged people to coexist in the areas they lived and worked, no matter their age or social standing. One of the first and possibly best examples of the plans carried out by the Montevideo City Council is Liber Seregni, an area of 16,000 square metres in the heart of a cramped and heavily transited part of town called Cordón. It used to be an abandoned tram station, later taken over by uninspiring warehouses where the homeless used to shelter. "We never went there as children," one local resident told me. In 2008, the space was emptied and set out as a spectacular urban square with overhead lighting that would allow for plenty of people to get together at any time of day and test these ambitious plans. Its success was the springboard for dozens of squares in the periphery and more marginal parts of Montevideo. Plaza Casavalle, inaugurated in 2013, is in one of the neighbourhoods with the highest poverty rates in the country. Plaza Tres Ombúes, named after a tree native to the region on the outskirts of the city, was built simultaneously alongside six other squares, designed with smaller neighbourhood meeting points at road intersections or between council estates. Crime rates, levels of delinquency and petty theft have all come down in these districts. The latest, Plaza Las Pioneras, opened last year near Parliament. The site was also an old train station. This June, Mayor Cristina Cose, the first woman to govern the Uruguayan capital, will launch Culture by Neighbourhood. The initiative will bring concerts, screenings and theatre performances out from indoor venues to the squares, a way to support the artistic community during the pandemic. All shows will be exempt from municipal tax. Uruguay has experienced an unexpected spike in coronavirus cases this year, having handled the outbreak masterfully in 2020 without a lockdown. Higher caseloads are driven in part by the new variant from neighbouring Brazil, forcing many activities to close, but not the open plaza. It seems that like the famous Italian piazza and the Portuguese pracinha, the humble square has solidified her role as a place that really does bring Uruguayans together, just as the turn of the century plan first envisioned.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Lucinda Elliott for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye. And thank you for listening, city lovers.